there, good morning, and welcome to another episode of Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Happy Thursday to you. And of course, today is All Souls Day. We'll talk a little bit more about that after the prayer. But this is the day where we remember all of the souls who are being purified in purgatory. Today is the day, a very important day for us to pray for those souls. But again, we'll talk more about it. Let's kick things off with prayer as we usually do, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us to the beginning of another day. Father, we ask you for the grace that we need to show you to everyone we meet today. Sometimes it's challenging. We're going to meet people and encounter situations that it will be difficult to show your presence to them. So we ask for your help with that. We ask you to grant us the grace that we need. We ask you, Father, to help us with all of our problems, whatever they may be. We ask you to help those who are struggling anyway, those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are on the verge of despair. We pray for the homeless. We pray for the homebound. And on this day, the commemoration of All Souls, we pray for all of the souls in purgatory. We ask you to extend your mercy to them. And Father, we ask you to speak through us on the program today. May all of your words echo through our mouths. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us. Can we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, hope you're ready to get started on this Thursday. Boy, was it dark and foggy coming over to the radio station earlier today. I started out pretty early, but it was a dark and foggy morning. Hope you're doing well. Here's what we have for you today on the program. Before I talk more about All Souls Day, we've got a great show. Every Thursday, our first guest is dedicated to the pro-life movement. Today, we're going to be interviewing Kevin Burke. He works for Priests for Life. He is the co-founder of Rachel's Vineyard Ministries, and he's got a new book out called Tears of the Fisherman, all about how abortion affects men. So Kevin's going to be on to talk about that. Our second guest, I'm excited about this, Dr. Peter Kraft will be here to discuss his new book from Ignatius Press, Catholics and Protestants, What Can We Learn from Each Other? So that's going to be interesting to have Dr. Kraft on with us today. But, as usual, by my side, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Parker.
Hey, good morning, Gary. How are you?
Brother Parker, how are you today?
I'm well, Brother Zimek, and good morning to our faithful listeners.
How about that fog today?
Oh, man. Yeah, it got pretty thick about halfway. Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, you know. But
dark and foggy morning.
Yes, so be careful out there.
Yeah, I mean, that goes without saying.
It's warmer today. You know, we're in that roller coaster weather-wise, right?
We sure are. Dave, I wanted to mention a few minutes, for a few seconds before we go on, about All Souls Day. Today's that day where we are invited to remember, to pray for the souls who are being purified in purgatory. We forget this. We forget the importance of this. We talked about this with Father Jeff Kirby yesterday. Mm-hmm. He mentioned that many of the mystics throughout the centuries have reminded us of the fact that the greatest number of souls, or a great number of souls, are priests and religious in purgatory because nobody thinks to pray for them.
Yes.
Because we all think, oh, they've got it covered.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Please remember to pray for your priests, maybe the priests that helped you growing up, anybody who has
the religious in your life, you know?
Right?
Exactly.
Also, and we'll talk more about this with Dr. Kraft when he comes on in the program. Many, or most, if not all, Protestants do not believe in praying for the dead.
That's true.
So there are millions and millions of souls in purgatory for whom nobody's praying.
Exactly.
So it's always a good idea, and I think Mother Angelica has mentioned this, and I have always made it a practice to do this, to pray for the souls in purgatory who have no one to pray for them.
Exactly.
You know, because
we're all called to do that. You know, and we should make an extra effort, if we're not doing that, to start doing that.
Yeah, and it's simple. Just say, Lord, have mercy on all the souls who have no one to pray for them. Mm-hmm. Father Kirby reminded us of the importance of doing this yesterday. It's a simple thing, but it's so important because these souls, they can't do anything to help themselves. They are being purified. That purification process is not fun. You know, it's not a fun process. Sometimes we think, oh, purgatory, that's just like a waiting area for heaven. True, if you get to purgatory, you will make it to heaven, but it's a purification process. And Dave, purification, right? As those of us who on earth know what it's like to be purified, it's painful.
And again, if you recall, folks, I'm a convert, and I was a Lutheran. I had heard about this, you know, growing up, and for the brothers and sisters who are Christians, they believe in Jesus, the risen Lord, but they don't believe that. And I pray for them, and I've been praying more for them lately. A lot of people in my family, extended family, do not believe this. And that's what we can do to help them and ourselves, you know.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind on this day, this All Souls Day. Dave, I want to take a quick look at the weather right now in the
It's dark air.
It sure is. At the Philadelphia International Airport, it's 55 degrees. Today we're going to have patchy fog before 9 a.m. Then we're going to have otherwise partly sunny skies, high near 76. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 57. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 74 degrees. At the present time, in Oxford, it's 53, in Fort Washington, 55, and in New Hope, it is 58 degrees.
Yes. Hey, Gara, if I can just mention, hey, the last day or two, we've been without Frank in
you
the
know,
studio.
We forgot to mention him yesterday. We had so much going on. I was half asleep. Yeah, and we miss him.
Yeah, I do. We miss him. Hey, Frank, if you're listening, we miss you, brother. Although we got a text, and I think your day job and other things are keeping you busy, and I think he sent it about 1:15 a.m.
Yeah.
My goodness, brother, you need some rest. So rest up, buddy.
Good call, Dave. We want to mention Frank because he's with us in spirit. He's working
absolutely
remotely.
He's making sure we stay awake. It'll be text too.
That's right. We'll see very shortly. Let's see what's going on. I want to read the gospel today, which is a special gospel for All Souls Day. But I want to mention too, tomorrow on the program, Tom Hoops is going to join us. He writes for Alatea.org. He wrote an article recently called, "What Does It Matter If My Rosary Is Blessed?" I think this is an important topic. A lot of times we think or we feel that some of our Catholic practices are superstitious. Mm-hmm. Not only our non-Catholic friends, but sometimes we ourselves think, is this a little too superstitious?
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a reason why we get rosaries blessed. Mm-hmm. And I love the article, and Tom's going to talk about it. Also on the show, Dr. Greg Popchak will be here. It's been a little while since Dr. Greg has joined us. Mm-hmm. He is going to address the issue of when it's time to seek help for anxiety, for depression. Can I get through this myself, or will I need to seek help? Mm-hmm. And then Monday on the show, another person who hasn't been on the program for a while. Mike Aquilina will be here. He's an author of, 40-some books. I mean, the guy's a prolific author. He wrote a book, and Dave, this is a really cool book from Ave Maria Press, A History of the Church in 100 Objects. He's got a picture of each object. It's a really, really neat book. So Mike's going to be on the show on
Monday.
That's
a different approach.
Really is. Really neat. Mm-hmm. And we just got word from Frank.
From guess who? Hi, Frank.
He's listening.
And Carolyn, if you're listening. And girls, or the girls are getting ready to go to school, I presume.
Frank, if you are listening, cut us a break. No criticism. We are who we are, right, Dave?
Exactly. Frank, are you wearing an Eagles or a Flyers, jersey today, this morning? But speaking of sports, are you want to?
Yeah, no, go do it.
Yesterday was the final game of the World Series.
World Series,
yes. I did not stay up. No, I did not stay up. I basically DVR'd it, but we know the Astros won. Congratulations to any Astro fans who may be listening, either in the area or online. But, and let's pray for the Dodgers, maybe next year.
Have you always been a baseball fan?
I have, but not as much as football. But okay. I've always, I like to watch mostly coming into the end of the season.
Well, do you remember your first World Series that you really got into?
Oh, boy.
I'm not sure.
I do not. I have to. That was a good question.
The reason is because I do. It was 1968. I'm going to date myself here. Before then, I followed baseball just on the remotely, not too seriously. But I remember turning it on. It was the St. Louis Cardinals against the Detroit Tigers.
Wow.
And I was so into that. For something, it just hooked me.
Yeah.
1968 was the very first year I followed the World Series. I just remember sitting there. A lot of the games at that time were played during the day.
Oh, yes, they were.
So I couldn't watch them all because I was in school. But I remember, actually it was in 1969, the following year when the Mets were in the World Series, that our teacher actually put the game on the transistor radio for a brief moment of
time.
On
the what?
Yeah, the transistor radio.
Oh, my
God. Man, I sound like a fossil. Right here, right? But anyway, it's kind of
cool. You're looking good for a fossil, brother. Come on.
Well, thank you. It is kind of cool to think back. Oh, man,
no,
come on.
I'll walk down memory lane. What did he say now?
Dave is an Erie fan.
I am, but
Yeah, Frank, you're not here to support me, but remember the last time that Erie, whatever their team is, was in the World Series? Oh, wait a minute. They don't have a professional baseball team.
Wow. Right. Hey, I did listen to we were Cleveland to the west, Buffalo to the east, and Pittsburgh to the south. So I had a choice of three major cities.
Did you have a pro sports team?
Oh, yeah. When I was young, eight, nine, the Browns. I was Cleveland.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Never the Bill, or never Buffalo for some reason.
Interesting. I always find that fascinating how that happens when I travel around. If a city doesn't have a pro sports team, it's interesting to hear what team they do root for. But
Yes.
All right, let's take a look at the gospel. This is a special gospel for All Souls Day. It comes from John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said to the crowds, "Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." Very important to recognize that our Heavenly Father wants us in heaven. A lot of times we try to figure out his will. What is God's will for me? God's will for you is to be a saint, to be in heaven.
Exactly.
Today, let's remember those who are on their way to heaven, but who need to be purified in purgatory. Let's pray for them. When we come back, Kevin Burke.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
It's a good morning, spelled with a Z. You're on Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
I can write a love song, tell you what I think you want to hear, but it wouldn't be good enough. No. Yeah, I could try so hard to give it everything I got, but I'm not ever gonna measure up. All I can do is thank you for this life I never deserved. Wanna thank you for the grace I know I don't have to earn. You love me, you love me, your mercy is proof. All I can do thank you. All I can do is say thank you. It would have been easy, but I'm glad you never walked away, 'cause your love runs deep for me. And I see this beautiful world and it brings tears in my eyes, and I think it's beautiful to be free. All I can do is thank you for this life I never deserved. Wanna thank you for the grace I know I don't have to can do is thank you for this life I never deserved. Wanna thank you for the grace I know I don't have to earn. You love me, you love me. Your mercy is proof. All I can do is say thank you. All I can do is say thank you. Thank you. All I can do, all I can do.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was All I Can Do by Mike's Chair. You know, sometimes all we can do, the best prayer we can say to the Lord, is thank yous. Thank you for listening to us on Spirit in the Morning. Your time right now is 7:17. We are working to get Kevin Burke on the line, having some technical issues, but we hope to have him on soon. Kevin is a representative of Priests for Life. He works at Rachel's Vineyard. Actually, he's the co-founder of Rachel's Vineyard Ministries, and he's a pastoral associate at Priests for Life. We're hoping to get Kevin on the phone. This is what happens sometimes when you have live radio. You run into these difficulties, these challenges. But just so you are aware of this fact, every Thursday on the program, we present a pro-life guest. Our first guest of the show is somebody who works in the pro-life movement. We've got different organizations who we turn to. Priests for Life is one of them. Chris Bell and Good Counsel Homes is another. Then we go to Bobby Schindler. And then we alternate on the fourth week of the month, the fourth Thursday of the month, between Jeannie Mancini, the president of the March for Life, and Catherine Zeltner, who's the host of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. We want to make sure that you understand what is going on with the pro-life movement. And there are many different aspects of what it means to be pro-life. Everything from abortion issues, understanding what abortion is and why it, what we can do to help stamp out abortion, and also end-of-life issues. So it's an important topic. And as Catholics, we are called to be pro-life, and it's critical that we do whatever we can. And that's the thing about this. Sometimes it can be a negative topic if we're not careful. It is an unpleasant topic if we don't look at it as, you know, as a call to action. And essentially what we need to do is look at being pro-life as something that we are all called to do. So what I would ask you today is to ask yourself the question, what can I do to support life? Is there anything that I can do to support life? And there are many different ways that you can do that. Certainly, we should vote pro-life. We should do what we can to spread the news, that is, to stand up for life in any way we can, and to pray, especially for an end to abortion. That's something that is very critical that we are able to do. And rather than lose hope, there is always something that we can do, and that's the message we want to get across. So again, we're trying to reach Kevin Burke, who is the co-founder of Rachel's Vineyard Ministries, and he also is a pastoral associate at Priests for Life. He wrote a new book called Tears of the Fishermen, which is all about how abortion affects men. A lot of times when we think about abortion, we think of it as being a woman's problem. But we don't realize that it profoundly affects men as well. It hurts men. Many men are dealing with the effects of abortion. And it's something that they carry around. They carry around oftentimes a tremendous amount of guilt. So Kevin is doing great work in that regard, talking about how men can be healed from the wounds caused by abortion. So we're going to see if we can get him on the line. In the meantime, I want to let you know that coming up in our next segment, we'll be talking to Dr. Peter Kraft. He wrote a book for Ignatius Press. The book is called Catholics and Protestants: What Can We Learn from Each Other? You know, the on October the 31st, we commemorated the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. It's very easy to look at what happened, and obviously what happened was a serious problem. But the good thing is, there is something positive that we can take from this. What can we do to learn from our Protestant brothers and sisters, and what can we do to repair this rift that was caused by the Protestant Reformation? We're going to talk about that with Dr. Crafe. And I believe we have Kevin Burke on the line right now. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. Sorry about the technical difficulties in getting you on the air.
No problem at all. I'm happy to be with you and your listeners. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. Kevin, you have a new book out. I set it up a little bit while we were waiting to get you on the air. Tears of the Fisherman. You know, Kevin, a lot of times we who get involved in the pro-life movement, we assume it's just a woman's problem, but it isn't.
Well, you know, I thought the same when I started over 20 years ago with my wife, Teresa. She developed the Rachel's Vineyard retreat weekend, and she was helping, you know, women who have experienced abortion, and so I was very aware of how much that impacted women. It wasn't until I started helping her out with the retreats and some men started coming on the weekends that I was really struck by how deeply they were affected by their own participation in the unborn child's death. And that was the beginning of me beginning to explore, you know. And really, I started from a perspective of not really knowing how this impacted men. But the more I got into it, I thought, wow, this is really a deep wound.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because somebody listening might say, well, I still don't understand. How can this affect a man?
Well, and a lot of times when they're going through the decision-making process, and a lot of times you're scared if it's an unplanned situation. You know, a lot of times as men, we want to just resolve a crisis, problem solve, and we go into that mode.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after the after it's resolved, there's sometimes a sense of relief. What can be very surprising to men is that in the aftermath of that, there's a sense of shame and guilt, and sometimes they don't really quite understand the emotions they're having. And what I discovered is that no matter what age a man is when he participates in his unborn child's death, there's something he violates very deep about his male identity, and it's something that's wired into us, because it's something I see across the board with guys. But we're wired to protect and defend unborn life, and so when we're in the role of somehow facilitating that child's death, it really wounds us, and those feelings can be expressed in a lot of different ways, but sometimes very destructive ways.
Kevin, if you could, you know, we do a pro-life segment each Thursday on Spirit in the Morning, but it can be a negative, it can be a nasty topic, and what we try to do is look at it in a positive way. Now, of course, it's a horrible thing what's happening with abortion, but what can we do? What can we do? What's the takeaway, a call to action, if you will? What can we do to assist the pro-life movement and to, you know, to do something positive to bring an end to abortion?
Well, there are obviously a number of very important, you know, frontline things that need to be done, but I'll speak from my own perspective, and that is that what I've seen in healing, you know, in the same way that this wound is very deep spiritually and emotionally, and it can cause all kinds of havoc in people's lives and relationships, I've had over 20 years experience seeing that. At the same time, when they open up that very deep wound to the light of Christ, to the sacraments of the church, to a healing program like Rachel's Vineyard, it really is an opportunity for God to touch them in a way they've never been experienced before, and to experience a church in a very positive way. So there's a conversion that happens, and coming out of that, we see many of the people who have been through our programs active in their local churches, active in the pro-life movement. They become leaders in the efforts to help women facing unplanned pregnancy. Many of the folks working in your pregnancy centers and helping those facing unplanned pregnancies have experienced abortion and know what that's about. So I would say healing is a very, recovery from this loss is a huge issue for both evangelization and for really converting our culture back to a culture of life from a culture of death.
If you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Kevin Burke. He's a pastoral associate for Priest for Life. He's also the co-founder of Rachel's Vineyard Ministries. Kevin, if you could you talk a little bit about Rachel's Vineyard?
Yes, my wife Teresa was working with a group of women who had experienced eating disorders. She was in graduate school for psychology, mm-hmm. and she discovered that a majority of the participants in this group had experienced abortion, but when she tried to address that with the psychiatrist who supervised her placement, he forbade her to talk about the topic.
Wow.
And she realized, well, this is something that I need to give an outlet for women who are experiencing this loss. And so she developed a very comprehensive emotional spiritual program. It takes place on a Friday to Sunday. It incorporates these active scripture exercises where you really, in a very beautiful and powerful way, encounter the Lord Jesus in word, sacrament, and the meditations. But it's also a very trauma-sensitive process because it allows people to access very painful emotions, work through them in the weekend. But it's all immersed in the Holy Spirit and a retreat team that consists of a priest, a counselor, and those who have experienced the loss. So it's very, very powerful, beautiful, and transformative experience. It's very painful. I mean, it's like, you know, it's very much like the Paschal Mystery, cross, death, resurrection experience.
And where can we go to find out more about the work that you do at Rachel's Vineyard?
You can go to rachelsvineyard.org.
Okay.
And that's where you'll find a listing of the retreat sites, lots of information. You can also go to, if you want information on men and abortion, you can and get my latest book, TearsOfTheFisherman.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great, TearsOfTheFisherman.com. I'll make sure we put a link on SpiritInTheMorning.com. Kevin, before we go, and we have about a minute left in the segment, I really think it's great that you're reaching out to men and letting them know how, you know, we need to get on board with this pro-life movement, too.
Well, actually, yeah. I mean, men who are compromised in these areas of sexuality, if they're involved in pornography, if they have abortion loss or other kinds of, you know, hurt and trauma and abuse in their lives, that compromises men. They can't be the men, they can't be the fathers, the leaders in their home, the leaders in their marriages, the families, and in the church that God calls them to be. So I would say that, you know, sometimes men are afraid to go near these very painful emotions. It feels vulnerable, even feminine. But, you know, when you go through that experience and heal, you're strengthened as a man. So, you know, we can form a whole new generation of leaders in the church and in our culture who are strong in the areas they need to be and not in the areas the culture kind of sells us.
Exactly. Yeah. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning today. God bless you for all your work.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. That was Kevin Burke. When we come back, Dr. Peter Crave, Catholics and Protestants, what can we learn from each other?
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Authorities say the man accused of killing 8 people in a New York City truck attack chose Tuesday's attack date to target Halloween crowds. A criminal complaint says Saifulu Saipov had plotted the attack for 2 months and had rented a truck ahead of time to practice turning it. Authorities say Saipov was inspired by the Islamic State's online videos. The Uzbek immigrant appeared in federal court yesterday to answer to charges. The Archbishop of New York, in the meantime, has called his fellow New Yorkers to unity, prayer, and mutual respect in the wake of the terror attack this week. In a statement, Cardinal Timothy Dolan said, "We are all horrified and stunned by another senseless act of violence," saying, quote, "One thing is clear. Once again, no matter our religion, racial or ethnic background, or political beliefs, we must put our differences aside and come together in faith and love," end quote. And Pope Francis is commemorating this All Souls Day in an Italian cemetery for Americans who died in World War II. He'll say Mass in the Sicily Rome American Cemetery and Memorial in Nettuno. The Pope noted this during his Angelus address yesterday, saying, quote, "I ask you to accompany me with prayer in these two stages of memory and suffrage for the victims of war and violence. Wars produce nothing but cemeteries and death. That is why I wanted to give this sign at a time when our humanity seems not to have learned the lesson or does not want to learn it," end quote. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
The St. Peter Respect Life Committee is pleased to announce their first program of the season, November 5th at 6 p.m. at St. Peter Church, West Brandywine, Pennsylvania. They'll feature Brendan and Cole Flynn. Brendan and Nicole both survived separate accidents which left them with severe traumatic brain injuries, only because their families fought for their lives after doctors told them there was no hope. After meeting in rehab, falling in love, and becoming husband and wife, they've turned their circumstances around by making it their life mission to serve God by educating people with their faith-filled stories. It's an amazing story of faith that you have to hear. November 5th at 6 p.m. at St. Peter Church, West Brandywine, Pennsylvania. Visit stpeterchurch.net to learn more or email respectlife@stpeterchurch.net.
Tipping our coffee mugs in a salute to a God-centered day. You're listening to Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
Hello, my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the lies, and I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I am no longer defined by all the wreckage behind. The one who makes all things new has proven it's true. Just take a look at my life. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Matthew West with Hello, My Name Is. I lost my notes for a minute. That was Hello, My Name Is by Matthew West. My name is Gary Zimak, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. The time right now is 7:35. Thanks for tuning into the program. Dr. Peter Kraft is a professor of philosophy at Boston College. He's one of the most respected Christian authors of our time. He has written several books, including his latest from Ignatius Press, Catholics and Protestants, What Can We Learn from Each Other? And we welcome him to the show now. Dr. Kraft, good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad that you could join us on the program. I am fascinated by the topic of this book. You know, we've been hearing so much about the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. As Catholics, how should we view this event?
As a tragedy. Mm-hmm. If we're Christians, we must be with Christ in his high priestly prayer in John 17, in passionately praying for unity. Differences of opinion are fine in philosophy, in politics, in art, but with regard to divine revelation, we had better get that straight and know what the mind and will of God is. So both sides, if they're Christians, must lament the disunity.
Right, so
and work for unity. On the other hand, we can't compromise truth. Truth's an absolute. You can't ignore that. And the true absolutes for any Christian are truth and love, because that's what God is. So somehow we have to, without compromising truth and without compromising love and respect for each other and listening to each other and learning from each other, we have to just muddle along and do the best we can. And I think we've made enormous progress in the last 50 years.
Yeah, now it's your subtitle of the book is interesting. Catholics and Protestants, what can we learn from each other? Sometimes as Catholics, we just assume, hey, we're right, they're wrong. But we can learn from our Protestant brothers and sisters, correct?
Well, let me give you one thing that I think we need desperately to learn from our evangelical Protestant brothers.
Okay.
When I teach a course at Boston College, I often give questionnaires out to students to find out where they're coming from. And I ask religious as well as philosophical questions, how they identify their religious beliefs. And one of the questions I sometimes sneak in is, if you were to die tonight and God asked you, why should I let you into heaven, and how would you answer him? I've never gotten more than 5% of students who identify themselves as Catholics even mention Jesus Christ in their answer to that question.
Wow.
And that's why we desperately need what the popes have called a new evangelization. We need to evangelize our own people and get very clear about our Christological foundation.
What can we learn from, and you address this in your book, what can we learn from the fact that there is a movement for the new evangelization?
Well, that there's a new need.
Yeah.
The movement doesn't come out of nowhere. And missionaries have always gone to the most desperately needy places. Back 75 years ago, we used to talk about darkest Africa. Mm-hmm. Well, they're sending missionaries to us. It's now darkest America.
Wow. Wow, that's scary. And really, the fact that there is a need for a new evangelization implies that there is some sort of a failure, correct, in the old evangelization?
In fact, in the very title of the new evangelization, the popes are saying this is a desperate failure in the church's pastoral program. It is not evangelizing its own people. There's a wonderful organization of young people called Focus Missionaries, and they go to the darkest places. You know what the darkest places are? Focus Missionaries go to Catholic campuses in America.
Wow. Mm. Wow. And in your book, you refer to this as the greatest confession of failure in church history, right?
I think that's
a strong statement.
Yep, because it's not just a failure of one particular doctrine. It's a failure with regard to the foundation of everything.
Right.
And we've got a magnificent building, and to neglect the foundation of that whole magnificent building is to have the whole building rest on sand.
Mm.
Now, the church has never taught that,
yeah,
but in its pastoral practice, it has often ignored that, as my students at Boston College testified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The students themselves sort of acknowledge it. They say BC stands for barely Catholic.
Wow. It's another strong statement. Well, let me share a personal story in my life. I'm a cradle Catholic, and until 10, 15 years ago, I had no good quality personal relationship with Jesus Christ, nor did I think it was possible, nor did I think Catholics did that. I thought it was strictly a Protestant thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that, and isn't that something that we could learn from our Protestant brothers and sisters, the importance of having that personal relationship with Christ?
Absolutely. And we can learn it from our own saints and our own recent popes.
Yeah, let's explore that a little bit. How do we do that? If we're listening, if somebody's listening to the program today and they say, well, I don't have that personal relationship with Christ, or I don't even know where to start. Where does one start?
Prayer. Talk to him. Ask him for it. Say, I'm a fool. I don't even see what's missing. You're God. You do. Give it to me. Lead me. Wow. Give him a blank check.
Yeah, yeah. In other words, expect him to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of us pray as a kind of psychological exercise. You know, it gives you peace of mind.
Yes.
But when you realize that you're dealing with, if you read the Chronicles of Narnia, Aslan, the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's not a tame lion, then, well, prayer should come with warning labels because he wants to do stuff to you.
Wow. Yeah, without a doubt. And that's such a powerful statement. Now, in your book also, you make the point, and we have many listeners to our show who are not Catholic, who are Christians of various denominations. You talk about the real presence, our Catholic belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And you said in the book, and I really liked this, you said that if you are having trouble believing that Christ is present in the Eucharist, go spend some time in a church before the Blessed Sacrament and ask him, are you real or not? That's a great idea.
He himself promises, seek and you shall find. All who seek, find. So if you open your mind to him and say, are you really there? If so, show me. If not, show me that. He'll do it. He promised.
Do you think that that's a major failure in a lot of in the way we pray so many times? We expect to do all the work by ourselves and we don't realize that he's going to come through?
Of course. Of course, prayer is a dialogue, and a dialogue is people speaking.
Right.
This is why, at the end of the book of Job, God answers Job, but not Job's three friends, because the three friends were good theologians. They said nothing wrong. They said, basically, God is great and God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. And then they stopped, and they never talked to God. Mm. Job was very confused and in great pain, at least talked to God, not just about him, and therefore God answered him.
Yeah, that's almost too simple. I think we overcomplicate our faith sometimes, correct?
Oh, yeah. The Christian faith is the most simple and the most mysterious thing in the world.
Yeah. And too often we think we have to do all the work. Before we have to let you go, I want to address the topic of the Blessed Mother. Because she is a great obstacle sometimes for our Protestant brothers and sisters. What can we say to them to get them to better understand Mary's role?
Unlike most doctrines like justification by faith or the Eucharist, this always takes time to seep in. It's a kind of a big picture, an appreciation of the role of a woman. Men like instant solutions. When women complain to men, men try to solve their problems right away, and the woman says, I just want you to be here for
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Oh, that's so
Mary
true.
Does for us.
Yeah, that is so true. That's something I do. My wife tells me that all the time. I just want you to listen to me. I don't want you to solve the problem.
Yeah. Every Protestant who became a Catholic that I know says the same thing about Mary. It was a big obstacle as a Protestant, and now that I'm a Catholic, I don't see anymore why was it such a big obstacle? It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I've heard that many times as well. Okay, so the Protestant Reformation did cause a serious rift. It was a tragedy. It was a very sad occurrence. Did anything good come out of it?
Certainly. It's necessary. God had to allow it. Well, God doesn't have to do anything,
right.
But he allowed it as part of a divine providence. So I think until the Catholics have learned everything the Protestants know, the Protestants are not going to come home to the Catholic Church because it doesn't look like home.
Right. Wow. That is a powerful statement and something we all need to consider. The point that you made in the book several times is that we need to pray that we can all be reunited. And I think that's something that many of us don't do.
Well, Jesus' answer to the problem of how you figure out what he wants and what he means and what the true teaching is scandalously simple. he says to the Pharisees, who asked him, how can we understand your teaching? You claim that it comes from God, whom you call your Father. How can we know that's true? He says, if your will were to do the will of my Father, you would understand my teaching, and that it comes from him.
Wow.
What, so once our hearts and wills are online, yeah, our minds will follow.
What would you say to somebody who says, I'm one person, what can I do to do anything about reunion of Christians?
Well, that's like saying, I'm only one vote, I can't sway, yep, the election. Or, I'm only one stone, how can I be part of an avalanche? But everything counts, everyone counts. There's a kind of spiritual gravity that's parallel to physical gravity. Every single event in the universe has a gravitational attraction on every other event in the universe, and that's true spiritually as well as physically.
Mm.
I think if God showed us how important prayer is and how powerful it is and all the effects and all the results of the smallest of our prayers down through the centuries, I think we would never be able to get up off our knees again for the rest of our lives.
Great point. Great point. Well, Dr. Kraft, I really want to thank you for making some time for us this morning. Where's the best place where we can follow you online?
I have a website, peterkraft.com.
Excellent.
And a book list.
Excellent. We will post that on Spirit in the Morning. Thanks again for joining us, my friend.
You're welcome.
God bless you. We'll be right back.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Actor David Oyelowo and his wife run a youth group at their church because he realizes that young people need God in order to deal with the negative cultural influences all around them. During a Christopher close-up interview, David said, "I think the challenges young people face are greater now than when I was a teenager, because of social media and just how much we are bombarded from every side by images of pornography or drugs or morally questionable things." David added, "If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem." And that is why he is using the celebrity he's earned as star of Christopher Award-winning movies like Selma and Queen of Katwe to keep young people on the right path. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Unending love.
has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion me as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me.
Welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. That was Amazing Grace. My Chains Are Gone by Chris Tomlin. I'm Gary Zimak. Thank you for listening to the program today. All right, we're going to do our Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Comes from Hebrews 12. Actually, it comes from Revelation. I'm sorry. Verse 21, chapter 21, verse 4. I'll get this right sooner or later. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. I felt it's appropriate on this All Souls Day to talk about death, because many of us are still grieving the loss of loved ones. Mm-hmm. Dave, it's difficult sometimes. We miss people, and obviously, absolutely, even Jesus wept when Lazarus died.
Mm-hmm.
He knew
mm-hmm.
what he was going to do. He was going to raise him up, but still he wept. He in his humanity, he experienced that grief that mm-hmm. so many of us experience with our loved ones. And I think a lot of the concern sometimes mm-hmm. is, are they in heaven?
Exactly.
Are they not? Are they in purgatory? Is there anything I can do to help them? And on this day, mm-hmm. it's so important for us to remember that, yeah, there is something we can
absolutely.
Do. We can pray for the repose
spot
of their souls and not assume that anybody's in heaven. We just don't know. And I'll make this clear, Dave Parker. If I die, mm-hmm. I want everybody listening to please pray for my soul. Don't assume I'm anywhere. I mean,
exactly.
I need all the prayers I can get.
Absolutely. Me too.
Those prayers will not be
out.
Wasted.
Yes.
You know, and it's important. My father has passed on, and I pray for his soul all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we can do out of love
mm-hmm.
for our deceased loved ones,
absolutely.
Our friends, and those who have gone before us.
Yeah, and they will totally appreciate it. And well, right now, a friend of mine is on the verge.
Oh,
you
really?
Know? Yes, Ben. So I ask everybody to pray for Ben, who's in his 80s, and but he's basically hanging in tough. And the Lord has not called him home yet, but like every week, there's something, you know, he improves, and then he doesn't. Then he kind of degrades. But we're all praying for Ben and the family. So yeah, right now it's real in my life.
Yeah.
And what a great guy! He's part of the St. Francis Cabrini Men's Prayer Group. So
the power of prayer.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes we'll say, "There's nothing I could do," or "If only there's something I could do, we can always
pray." Au contraire. Yes,
right?
Totally. I mean, our prayers, sometimes we don't know or we forget how powerful our prayers are and can be.
And that's what we discussed in that last segment with Dr. Peter Kraft. When we pray, when we ask God for something, we have to expect him to do something. Now, as you and I were discussing on the break,
I was going to say that, yes.
It might not be immediate. He's going to act in his time. He's not going to just listen to us and say, oh, Gary wants it, so I'm going to give it to him right away.
And for what our good is, so we could serve him. And as I said, oh, yeah, I've asked him, thinking that, well, I can serve you best this way, Lord. Well, it never happened, you know. It was when I was more in quiet receptivity mode, not thinking, not talking, I mean, just waiting, the answer came.
That's right. So it's in his time, but he will act, he will respond when we pray. Before we close out the show, I want to give a shout-out to Monsignor Gentili from Our Lady of Guadalupe and the Tech Committee. Frank Eliason met with them last night. Monsignor Gentili, he's a friend. I've spoken at Our Lady of Guadalupe a few times. It's a great parish, right down the street from us here at Holy Spirit Radio.
It is. Yeah.
So if you're listening, Monsignor, and the Tech Committee, thank you for listening, and thank you for all that you do. And we look forward to working with you in the future.
Yeah, and Frank goes on to say he's really impressed how Guadalupe and that whole effort, you know, bringing Christ in different ways, modern technical ways.
Yeah, that's important. And that's one of the things we're trying to do here at the station. Thank you, Frank, because
yeah, Frank.
If it was up to me and you, Parker, the technology would not happen, right?
Get those cans and string, okay?
So, yeah. Anyways. But that's, we are using all the means available to share the good news.
And yes.
St. Paul would have done the same thing if he had the ability. I mean, that's where technology can be a blessing.
And if I can quickly say about Dr. Kraft, his whole thing is that we have to evangelize, and as he went, he delved into the new evangelization, in that title is, why is there a call for that?
Yeah.
Well, because it failed. Evangelization has failed. And I was thinking, we at Holy Spirit Radio and EWTN and are so blessed to be in the modern era. We need to pick it up.
Yep.
We need to step it up our game.
You preach it, brother.
Yeah.
It's true. What you're saying
Absolutely.
Is true.
Yes.
Because the problem is, and this is, I recognize this problem in my own life, and that's what really motivates me to do what I do. Most people who are Catholic, I'm going to say this, I'm going to take a bold step out here. Most people who are Catholic, and I deal with a lot of them, have no idea that it's possible to have a personal relationship with Jesus.
That was my second point. Great, yeah,
he's
great
real.
Point. Absolutely.
He's real, and he wants to be a part of our lives.
And
right,
that's what
Dave?
He said about our evangelical, you know, brothers and sisters. They have that. They have a personal relationship. So we need to come together. We're not that far apart.
And that's the thing. And Dr. Kraft, in his book, one of the things he said is that the fullest way possible to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is through the Catholic Church.
Amen.
So we can learn from them about that relationship, and they can learn from us about how to improve that relationship and have it to the fullest extent possible.
And that went to the 500-year Reformation question, and hey, that was a serious break.
Yep.
But we need to pray that God brings us back together, and we need to step up our game, not only the laity, well, especially the laity, but the clergy.
Exactly.
You know? And they know that. The message is out there.
That's right. All right, that's my music. I think it's time to go. We thank you for listening to the program. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you, so just make sure you say hi. Talk to you next time.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating